This is the Friday, June 16th, 2017 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Ted Seifert. Ted, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. We did not get a chance again this week to discuss cotton on the program. Big move.
Yeah.
Big drop to the downside. What happened?
I thought that was going to be your first question. You know, a number of things. The rising U.S. dollar is a problem for cotton. Good crops in India, Pakistan, and the U.S.
Okay.
Also a problem. You also had a fairly large speculative position there, about 100,000 contracts between the large and small speculators, that I think we flushed a fair amount of that out, because you look at open interest, it's the lowest that we've seen since, what, September?
Okay.
So a lot of it was technical. I mean, there was certainly a trigger for it, the higher dollar and good-looking crops. But now I think we've kind of hit sort of midterm support, or at least we've gotten very oversold. So I would sort of expect to see another retest to see if we can get back over 70.
Okay.
But then I wonder if it's a sell, because, you know, you look at, we're at a 50% Fibonacci retracement from lows to highs. I think this smacks is something that might see a little bit of a deeper retracement, closer to a 66%. My downside target is 67.50 in the December. So I would look for a little bit of a technical sort of relief bounce, and I'd be looking to sell it.
Okay. Producers, take advantage of it when that relief bounce comes, if you haven't already taken advantage of everything you want to sell.
There you go,
so
bud.
Far.
Yeah.
All right, first question from our followers on Twitter. This one's from Ethan in Nebraska. He's on Twitter at Ethan Bruland. Ethan wants to know, like we talked about on the program, cash cattle slipped again this week. Packers are pulling bids. Mm. What do you expect from Packers to finish the June futures trading?
Yeah.
We've been expecting a convergence, and just when cash starts to converge with where futures fall out of bed.
Yeah. Hi, Ethan. Great question. It seems like we've kind of found a new norm where we're just expecting an $8, $9, $10 premium in futures to cash, which I don't understand that, and I don't really like it. So we'll see. But, you know, cash softened pretty significantly last week. The board softened pretty significantly as well. Part of that, though, as far as the board's concerned, is just like we talked about in cotton, you're seeing open interest come down. It's the lowest it's been since, April.
Okay.
So on the big run-up, you got your speculators involved, things like that. The Packers watched the board come down, and we've got that, when you've got your speculative crowd getting out, they figure, okay, the board prices aren't going to continue to have that sort of pull-up effect on the cash. So I don't know. You know, I think, as you said, Packers pulling bids, I think they're going to test the waters with that for a little while and see what happens. Again, you've done some pretty decent damage on the charts. I don't know. I will see. If, again, next week, the cash market starts getting hot and heavy again, the key to me is how quickly we're going to market. If we're going to market with low weights, then the supply doesn't look terribly large. But if we're, like last week, you know, gaining 11 pounds in the dress on dress steers, that's a big problem with the amount of animals that we have. So we'll see. If Packers stay aggressive, that's really the only reason why I could see cattle turning around and going higher. But if they're going to keep pulling their bids and test the waters with that for a while and see what happens, I get a little nervous about the cattle market.
Now, looking on the cash side, Ted, this last week was the first time I think I've ever seen cash bids drop so much during the day.
Six
we dropped
thousand.
from 134 early in the day down to 133, 130. Yeah. I think we ended trading the day at 129 on cash, 128, 129. How many times do you remember has that happened that cash has dropped that strongly during the day?
Listen, it's a very volatile cash market right now. I mean, what is it, 3 or 4 weeks ago we saw it go the other way,
yeah,
like $9,
yep,
or something like that. So when you see that move in one direction, you kind of expect to see it in the other direction at some point.
Right.
And volatility, and this is an old saying, I don't like cliches, but this is one that I use fairly often, but volatility sometimes is indicative of a top. So you look at this, or bottom, or an extreme, really. Volatility is sometimes indicative of an extreme. And you wonder if this sort of volatile cash trade that we're seeing is sort of indicative of a high. That's my concern, at least.
Okay. Now, our next question is from our good buddy, Phil, up in Ontario, Canada. He's on Twitter at Agronome. He's got two questions for you, Ted.
Hmm?
What major global weather event is incubating now? Is there an El Nino or a La Nina type event in the window today?
Yeah. Hi, Phil. Not a weather guy. You know, although I'm an amateur weather guy, I've been doing this for, 15 years, and in those 15 years, I certainly have watched a lot of radar and certainly read a lot about weather. Here's my best answer for you, Phil. At the moment, it's pretty neutral. The models were trying to put in the potential of an El Nino towards the end of September into October. That's sort of softened. The models keep trying to put it in, but it keeps pulling it back down below zero. We're really fairly neutral right now. I don't really see anything major in the mix for El Nino or La Nina at the moment.
Nothing, no market chatter going on El Nino, La Nina today.
That's, no. I mean, again, the last we talked about that was back in January, February timeframe. And that's when the models were kind of suggesting more of an El Nino, but right now it's more neutral.
All right. His next question is follow-up. End of this month, June 30th, USDA. We get crop estimates.
Yep.
Does Ted Seifert or does Zainer Aghedge have corn and bean acreage estimates yet?
That's a very good question. We don't have any. We haven't published our numbers yet. That'll come either at the end of next week or early the following week.
Okay.
We are still compiling data and we are still doing statistical analysis. In fact, one of our members has a project for this weekend to deal with that. But I can tell you where I'm leaning. Now, I can be swayed by numbers.
Sure.
So, you know, this is not our final number.
Right.
But I can tell you what my general feel is right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see corn acres just a little bit higher than what everybody's expecting. I'm thinking somewhere 90.6, 90.8, just under 91 million.
Okay.
And I think soybean acres, I don't think lose very much at all. I think soybean acres are pretty right on the money. I'm thinking 89.4, 89.6, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay.
If I were just throwing numbers out there without the data, that's kind of where I'd be. We'll see when the data comes in, if that either confirms or denies what I'm looking at now. And, you know, that they may change by the time we put our numbers out, but that's kind of where I'm leaning.
Okay. And this kind of leads us right into our next question. This is from Matt in Northeast Michigan. He's on Twitter at Schwab Matt. Wants to know, what is the realistic amount of corn acres lost to water or flood damage this spring?
Yeah. So that's a struggle. That's what we're all trying to figure out and have been trying to figure out for a while. Because, you know, if we lost flood acres, did we replant them or not?
Right.
And the answer, I think, for the most part is yes. So will those replant acres, how will that fare after the heat that we had? So that's a very good question. I will say this. We've seen, I think, a record amount of replant in Illinois and Indiana and possibly a bunch of other places as well.
Yeah.
But the thing is, here's my stance, and to I guess, take Phil's question a little further, too. I really thought that if we got off to a hot and heavy start to planting, that we were going to see 92 million acres of corn.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do that. So for me, that just kept us pretty close to the 90. But I think when you look at how the USDA does this, because if we planted it and it got flooded out, even if it didn't get replanted, that's still planted acreage. So I think that planted acreage number is going to be north of 90 million.
Okay. That makes sense. We've got another question here. You talked on the program about the big shock coming out of NOPA this week, and bean oil stocks being drawn down while bean oil production has been very strong. And there is currently a suit from the National Biodiesel Board against Argentine dumping of soy or of biodiesel onto the American market. So Jason on Twitter at Jason11Thomas wants to know, what would a 20% import tariff on Argentine biodiesel do to the domestic bean oil prices?
Yeah. Hi, Jason. That'd obviously be fairly bullish. I mean, we're already seeing that demand is rather strong. I'm very impressed to see that crush came in 6 million bushels above. I'm sorry. Yeah. 6 million bushels above
expectations.
And well above. So that ended up being almost 10 million bushels above what we were doing last month.
Yes.
Yet our oil stocks didn't increase. That is very impressive. That means domestic demand or overall demand. There's export in there, although, you know, we haven't seen anything super exciting on the export wires for soybean oil. Domestic demand is really very good. So, yeah, if we do that, you think that we're going to run through those oil stocks pretty quickly. Then potentially, are we crushing for oil? I mean, we never really do that.
One of those other cliches that we hear a lot in trading is bean oil can't lay to bean rally, or at least not for very long.
Right.
It certainly sounds like we've got a situation, particularly if this 20% tariff were to be applied, that bean oil could be a fairly substantial driver on the bean market.
It could. Although I wonder if we'd be importing bean oil from Brazil, for example.
Just go to a different source.
Yeah. So we'll see. Canola oil. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you look at the different oils, I mean, they're
palm oil. There's a lot of
there's a lot of alternatives. It's like soybean meal, where you know it's either soybean meal or you know we look at there's other feeds, but that sort of protein. I mean, it's pretty specific, right? I mean, that's an interesting question. Certainly, it'd be bullish for the market.
Okay.
But you wonder how bullish or how far we'd go before we'd find some sort of alternative.
Right. How strongly bullish, would we see it in our pocketbooks on the producer side?
Either way, at the prices we're at, I think it's friendly. And I think the NOPA crush numbers were friendly. And you saw bean oil, you know, quite a bit. Since we've seen that number, bean oil's been quite strong.
Yes. Now, Ted, before we let you go, we have been taking questions from Iowa State students, ag students.
Yeah.
We've been getting them on video. And we encourage any of you, if you are an ag student or just a person interested in learning more, get out your phone, shoot us a video, and send us a question. We'll get you on here. You can learn more about this project if you listen to the M2M podcast number 143. So, Ted, here is the latest installment of our college-level ag student questions.
Cool.
At what debt-to-asset ratio should a farmer be looking at buying more land?
Well, was his name Cody?
He was Cody, yes.
Yeah, Cody, I think that is a very personal question that everybody's going to have to answer their own, and they're going to sit down with their banker.
Yes.
And that is a family powwow, because I know of people that that don't even really consider that.
Yes.
But, you know, just generally speaking, debt to assets, I don't like to see guys over 50%. Most are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, that's in this climate, you know, there are times to be more aggressive than others. And in this climate, I don't want to see that really high. You know, when things are really good and we're talking $5-6 corn and the opportunity is really there to have good profit margins, you can work yourself out of debt very quickly. Mm-hmm. That's a different story. Right now, profit margins are very thin. So you want to be very careful with that. So,
right. Those thin margins, and we're in an interest rate environment that is increasing.
Is, you know, slowly
increasing. But, before we let you go, Ted, are we going to see two more rate hikes this year?
No, not two, I don't think.
You think one?
I think one, but market doesn't agree with me right now. We're not pricing in the high likelihood of that happening.
Okay. Well, so Cody, talk to your family, talk to your banker. Really put some thought into that debt to asset question.
Absolutely.
With that, Ted Seifert, we'll let you go. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Market Plus.
Always a pleasure, bud.
And join us again next week when Naomi Bloom will sit across from me at the Market to Market table, and we explore how new shipping concepts are colliding with aging infrastructure. Until then, thanks for watching or listening. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.